لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك
لبيك. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم إن زلزلة الساعة شيء عظيم يوم ترونها تذهل كل مرضعة عما أرضعت وتضع كل ذات حمل حملها وترى الناس سكارى وما هم بسكارى ولكن عذاب الله شديد صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم Amma Abad. Respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You have just heard the first two verses of Suratul Hajj. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum, O people, fear your Lord. Inna zalzalata sa'ati shay'un azim. Verily, the earthquake before the day of Qiyamah is a major event. Yawma tarawnaha tazhalu kullu murdi'atin amma arda'at wa tad'u kullu zati hamlin hamlaha wa tara an-nasa sukara وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. On that day, you would see that every breastfeeding woman will abandon the child that she is breastfeeding. And on that day, every pregnant woman will drop and abort her pregnancy. And on that day, you would see people that they are intoxicated. Whereas they are not intoxicated, it is the severe punishment of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. It is mentioned in the books of hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on safar. He was on journey. And suddenly Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam started reciting these verses of Suratul Hajj. The Sahaba gathered around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed the Sahaba and told to them that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to the earthquake of the day of Qiyamah. Do you know which day is that? Sahaba mentioned, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and the Rasul knows best. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam then mentioned, it will be that day when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will tell to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam that, oh Adam, go and pick the people from your children that is going to go to Jahannam, to the fire of hell. So Adam alayhi salatu wa salam will then tell to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that who is going to go to hell from my children, from my progeny into Jahannam? And how many of them will go into Jahannam? On that, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will say, from every 1,000 souls, 999 souls going to go into hell. When the Sahaba heard this, they all thought to themselves that if 999 souls from 1,000 souls going to go into hell, then who will be safe from among them? They were very sad, very, very grieved and worried. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then told them that from the 999, they will be from the Ya'juj and the Ma'juj, and according to one narration, from the tribe of Iblis, from the tribe of the Shaitan. In this verse, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about one of the last signs of the day of Qiyamah. The earthquake, the tremor. And this is also described in other verses of the Quran Kareem, wherein Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Remember that day when the earth will shake to its fullest. وَحُمِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ وَالْجِبَالُ فَدُكَّتَ دَكَّةُ وَاحِدَةً. The earth and the mountain will be lifted up and they will be crushed into pieces. إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّةً. And remember, the earth then will be rocked. These are the different descriptions of the day of Qiyamah and the impact of the day of Qiyamah. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala commences Surah Hajj with a description of the day of Qiyamah, with a description of the day of the final day, when the world will come to an end. There is a strong link and a strong bond between Hajj and the Akhirat. It is our aqidah, it is our belief. When a person passes away, his body don't just disintegrate in the grave. It doesn't just become rotten. We believe in ahwal barzakh. We also believe that is the beginning journey of the akhirat, and we believe in the day of resurrection. When a person will stand in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and a person will give an account for all of his actions and his deeds. If the person has brought iman and faith, and the person has had good and righteous actions and deeds, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will grant him entrance into Jannat and Paradise. If the person did not bring faith and iman in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, or if the person has brought faith in iman and iman in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, but he was sinful, then it is left to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. If Allah wants, Allah will forgive the person, and if Allah wants, Allah will punish the person. When a person performs Hajj, it is a journey of a lifetime for the individual. The individual have seen life, different angles and different dimensions of life. The person has gone through different challenges of life. He have seen the pains and the comforts of life. He have seen the loyalty and disloyalty of friends. The husband have seen the tolerance and intolerance of the wife. The wife have also seen the tolerance and intolerance of the husband. The parents have seen the obedience and disobedience of the children. and so much more the person have seen in life and gone through the different angles and different phases of life. The person comes to a point in life where he realizes that his vision of life is something more than that. It is not only the experiences he has gone through, he realizes that there is a powerful superior being above him that is controlling his life. And he realizes that until and unless he does not straighten his issue with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the being that is above him, the being that is controlling his life, then he will not enjoy any peace, happiness, contentment and serenity in life. And therefore, the person now proceeds with Hajj with this intention to create a strong bond and a link with Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And therefore, the most important thing for Hajj is the intention of the individual, the niyat of the individual. Why is the person performing Hajj? Is he performing Hajj just because he's financially able and to execute a responsibility that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala ordained upon him? Or apart from that, he's actually going to change his life and reform his life. He wants to become a better person. And to the extent that the person's intention is sound on Hajj, the effect of the Hajj will be according to that. If the person is really honest, really sincere, he wants to change his life, then Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will put barakat in the safar and the person's life will be changed for the better. That is why the most important aspect in Hajj is intention. Innamal a'malu bin niyat. That the actions of a person are just by his intentions. Wa innama limri imma nawa. And for an individual is whatever he has intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If a person hijrat and migration from one place to the other, it is for the pleasure of Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it will be for that. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى دُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا أَوْ إِمْرَأَتِ يَتَزَوَّجُهَا فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى مَا هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِ. If the person made hijrat to attain the dunya, worldly comforts and benefits, or to get married to a woman, then whatever was his intention, then it will happen according to that. Likewise in Hajj. If the person's intention is just to go to perform Hajj, so that he could say to the people that I have performed my Hajj, just to show off, he will go for Hajj, he'll come back, but he will not have any, not gain any benefit. But if he doesn't go to show people, he's going purely to the house of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and to become a more sincere, honest, practicing Muslim, then inshallah, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will let it be like that. If the person prior to performing Hajj, he was not performing his Salah. Or he was performing his Salat in the case of a male, he was not performing Salat with Jama'ah. Or if the person is rich and wealthy, he was not executing his Zakat. Or if the person was doing everything, but he was not wearing a beard, he was not keeping a beard. Now, he goes for Hajj, he starts performing his 5 daily Salah. He makes a firm intention that I will execute my zakat and fulfill the need of the poor or people. If I was not keeping a beard, now I will keep a sunnah beard. If I was shaving my beard, I will make tawbah from that. If I had bad character and conduct, I'm fighting and disputing with everyone. Anyone that I come across with in life, then the person is fighting with me. So that means something is wrong with me. He realizes that he needs to go to make Hajj and reform himself, contain himself, and he needs to become a person with better character and conduct. If he were a person in his muamalat and his business, he was dealing in interest, or he was dealing in corrupt and fraudulent deals. Now he makes the intention that when I go for Hajj, I come back, then I'm going to change my business and I'm going to do everything according to Shariat. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes it easy for the individual to perform the Hajj and make the correct intention by making me realize the reality of life, that the life is going to come to an end and the person is going to go towards the Akhirat. Life is not forever, it is temporary, and one day he's going to leave this world and he rather leave with a good record and he can make some investment for the long lasting journey of the Akhirat. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Kullu nafsin za'iqatul maut. Every soul will have to taste death. No person came in this world to live forever. Allah tells us in the Quran Kareem, Kullu man alayha fan. Whatever is on the face of this earth, it is going to perish. is never here forever and ever. When we look at the great personalities in the world, nobody came in the world to live forever. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, the first human being on the face of this earth, first human being to be created, created with the hands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But he also came in the world and he had to leave the world. So what chance do you and I stand? Noah alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah gave him a life of 1,000 years. He came and he went. So how will we live forever? Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam is the king. Almighty Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him so much of power. He had control over the shayateen, over the jinnat. He was able to speak the language of the birds. He was able to travel far, far distant journeys for a short period of time. He had so much of power and so much of control. Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam also had to leave this world. Fir'aun, the oppressor, he had so much of control over Egypt. He had so much of confrontation with Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Everything was under his control, but he also had to leave the world and go away. Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, a person who knew the Ism-e-Azam, the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, through which if a person makes dua, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala definitely accepts the dua. He knew the Ism-e-Azam. He could have made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, wallah, through the barakat of Ism-e-Azam, let me live forever. But even Bal'am ibn Ba'ura had to leave the world. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, such a great Nabi and a prophet of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He had so much of power in him. When the angel of death came to take his life away, he clung to the angel of death. But he also had to leave this world. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah gave him so much of power, he was able to perform miracles. He was able to cure the sick. He was able to bring back to life the dead. And so many more miracles. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam has been lifted up towards the heavens. He will return to earth and then he will finally pass away and death will also overcome him. Final Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The greatest Nabi, the most beloved Nabi of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The greatest of mankind. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even he came in the dunya to leave the dunya. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Muhammad is no one but the Rasul of Allah. So many Rasuls came before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They left the dunya. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had to leave the dunya. So when all these great personalities, they came before us, they left the dunya, we should be conscious of death all the time and know that every moment, every second of our life, we are getting closer to death. Our journey toward the akhirat, it commences with the life in the qabr. It is our aqidah, when a person goes into the when he passes away and is placed into the qabr, then there is a halat, there is a condition in the qabr. That is the beginning of the life of the hereafter. It is mentioned in the hadith, an Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna al-abda idha wudi'a fi qabrihi wa tawalla anhu ashabuhu, إِنَّهُ لَيَسْمَعَ قَرْعَ نِعَالِهِمْ أَتَاهُ مَلَكَانِ فَيُقْعِدَانِهِ فَيَقُولَانِ مَا كُنْتَ تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ لِمُحَمَّدِ. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person passes away and is placed in the qabr, and his family people that came to bury him at the qabr, they turn their back and they go away, the person that is placed inside the qabr, he can actually hear the footsteps of the family people, his friends and his associates leaving the qabristan. The two angels then come up to him, Munkar and Nakir. They come and make him sit in the qabr. And then they ask him a few questions. One question would be, Mar Rabbuk, who is your Rabb? Second question, Ma Deenuk, what is your religion? And the third question will be about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, if a person a mu'min, the hadith says, أَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُ فَيَقُولُ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. A mu'min will say that I proclaim and I testify that Muhammad is the slave of Allah and the Rasul of Allah. Then the angel will tell to him, أُنْظُرْ إِلَى مَقْعَدِكَ مِنَ النَّارِ قَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ بِهِ مَقْعَدًا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَرَاهُمَا جَمِيعًا. The angel will tell to the mu'min, to the believer, who was successful in giving his answers to the angels, that had you not brought deen and Islam, had you not brought faith in Allah and the Rasul, then look at what the consequences would have been. See your abode in Jahannam, in the fire of hell. And Allah has changed that into Jannat and paradise for yourself. وَأَمَّا الْمُنَافِقْ وَالْكَافِرْ فَيُقَالُ لَهُ مَا كُدَّ تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. If he's a munafiq and a kafir, a disbeliever, he is put into the qabr, and the same question will be asked to him. مَنْ رَبُّكْ مَا دِينُكْ. And about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, he will say, hi, hi, la adri, I don't know the answers to this. So angel will reprimand him and tell to him, la dareta wa la taleta, you never even care to bother to understand, you never even worry about to read. وَيُذْرَبُ بِمَطَارِقَ مِنْ حَدِيدٍ ضَرْبَةً فَيَسِيحُ سَيْحَةً يَسْمَعُهَا مَنْ يَلِي غَيْرَ الثَّقَلَيْنِ. A steel hammer will be hit on his head, and that hammer is such that it is hit onto the mountain, one time the mountain will crush. This person will be hit with such a hammer and will shout and scream in such a way that every creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will hear his shout and scream, with the exception of insan and jinnat. In one hadith it is mentioned, an Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat, anna yahudiyatan dakhalat alayha, that a Jewish woman, she once came to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she came to beg. فَذَكَّرَتْ عَذَابَ الْقَبَرِ. So this Jewish woman, she told to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala about the punishment in the qabr. فَقَالَتْ لَهَا أَعَاذَكِ اللَّهُ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبَرِ. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala gave us sadqa and charity. She then told to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, may Allah protect you from the punishment of the qabr. فَسَأَلَتْ عَيْشَةُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبَرِ. Had Aisha radiallahu ta'ala was surprised. She didn't hear about عذاب القبر before. So she asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this. Nabiya Kareem says, mentioned, azabul qabri haqqun. The punishment in the qabr is haqq, it is true. Qalat Aishatu radiyallahu ta'ala anha, fama ra'aytu rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ba'du salla salatan illa ta'awwadha billahi min azabil qabr. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says that after this incident, whenever Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed salat, after salat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would seek refuge from the punishment of the qabr. In one hadith, it is mentioned, عن زيد بن ثابت رضي الله تعالى عنه قال بين رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حائة لبني نجار على بغلة له ونحن معه إذ حادت به فكادت تلقيه. Whilst we were with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the orchard of Banu Najjar, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was on the back of his donkey. The donkey started jumping. وإذا أكبر ستة أو خمسة. And there were about 6 or 5 graves around. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the sahaba, مَنْ يَعْرِفُ أَصْحَابَ هَذِي الْأَقْبُرِ. Who knows that who are the inmates of these graves? فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ أَنَا. One sahabi mentioned, Ya Rasulullah, I know who the inmates of these graves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, مَتَى مَاتُ. When did they die? قَالَ فِي الشِّرْكِ. They died in the pre-Islamic era, in the time of kufr and shirk. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, إِنَّ هَذِي الْأُمَّةَ تُبْتَلَى فِي قُبُورِهَا. The inmates of these graves, they are being punished in the graves. And then he says, فَلَوْلَا أَن تَدَافَنُوا لَدَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ أَن يُسْمِعَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ أَلَّذِي أَسْمَعُ مِنْ. Had I not feared that you people will stop burying your dead, I would have made dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to make you listen the scream, the shout of the punishment of the inmates of these graves. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid attention to the sahaba and told to them, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the fire of hell. Sahaba then mentioned, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ النَّارِ. That we seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the fire of hell. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then taught them the second dua, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبَرِ. Seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the qabr. Sahaba then mentioned, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبَرِ. We seek refuge in Allah from the punishment of the qabr. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنْ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. Seek refuge in Allah from all type of fitnas, external and internal. Sahaba mentioned, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتَنْ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنْ. We seek refuge in Allah from all fitnas, external and internal. Fatwa Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, تَعَوَّذُوا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الدَّجَّالِ. Seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of Dajjal. The Sahaba mentioned, Na'udhu billahi min fitnati Dajjal. That we seek refuge in Allah from the fitna of Dajjal. In one hadith he did mention, about Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, أنه كان إذا وقف على قبر بكى حتى يبل لحيته. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he used to go to a grave, he used to cry so much that his beard used to become wet because of excessive crying. فَقِيلَ لَهُ تَذْكُرُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارِ فَلَا تَبْكِي وَتَبْكِي مَنْ هَذَا. Somebody told to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when there's discussion about paradise, discussion about hell, you don't cry as much as you cry when you hear about the condition of the qabr. فقال إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala responded and he said that Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم said إن القبر أول منزل من منازل الآخرة. The qabr, it is the first stage from the stages of the journey towards the akhirat. فإن نجا منه فما بعده أيسر منه. If a person has been successful in the qabr, he was able to successfully answer the questions in the qabr, and you are safe from the punishment of the qabr, the journey after that towards the akhirat will be much more easier than that. وَإِن لَمْ يَنْجُ مِنْهُ فَمَا بَعْدَهُ أَشَدَّ مِنْهُ. And if the person is not successful with answering the question in the qabr and the condition of the qabr, then the journey that is to come after that is even more worse. قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ مَا رَأَيْتُ مَنْذَرًا قَتُّ إِلَّا وَالْقَبْرُ أَفْزَعُ مِنْ. Nabi Kareem says that I did not see any manzar, any sight that is more frightening and more disturbing than the condition of the qabr. And that is why in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, قَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ إِنَّكُمْ تُفْتَنُونَ فِي الْقُبُورِ قَرِيبًا مِّنْ فِتَّةِ الدَّجَّالِ. In the qabr, you'll be tested. The condition in the qabr will be very, very difficult and more difficult or closer to the difficulty of the fitna of Dajjal. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about the life of the akhirat. He speaks about the day of judgment in the beginning of Surah Hajj. When a person goes for Hajj, he dons his ihram, the Haji dons his ihram, he removes all his clothes of comfort. He removes his outer garment, he removes his inner garment, and now he just wears two pieces of cloth like his kafan. Just as a person is shrouded in his kafan and now he's starting his journey towards the akhirat, here the haji also dons his two pieces of ihram like his kafan and he starts his journey towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and he says, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. He keeps on saying, Labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika lak labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata lak wal mulk la sharika lak. The person says, oh Allah, I'm presenting myself before you. Oh Allah, I'm presenting myself before you. And oh Allah, you are one and alone, there's no sharik to you. Oh Allah, I present myself before you. He presents himself before the court of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And in this way, the person makes himself conscious of death. He makes himself conscious of life after death. He's conscious of the ahwal of the qabr and the akhirat. He's conscious of standing in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And in this way, he makes firm intention to change his life. He sincerely makes tawbah to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and he now wants to become this sincere and obedient slave to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Inshallah, in our next session we shall continue. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.